the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here with this podcast, my show, my weekly program where I bring to you my thoughts and perspectives on living better in the modern world, being healthier and happier. Once in a while, I'll scatter in an interview now and then when I find it to be useful. And that's how I roll. If you're just joining me, then you know now. And if you've been here before, you've known before. Wow. It's the new year. It's 2017. It doesn't matter. If you're listening to this in like 2019, it's fine. Stick around. And if I'm still doing this podcast in 2019, congratulations to me, because I will have just done my like 350,000th episode or something like that. Okay, this is episode 172, you guys, and I'm glad you're here, but it is January 2nd, and it is the new year of 2017. I have high hopes for this year. This year is going to be the best year in the history of mankind. Not for me. I just mean for the history of the human race. 2017 is going to be the best one ever. You heard it here first, you guys. Okay, so if you are listening to this in 2019, you also already know, and you're looking back and going, he was right. 2017 was the best year for the history of mankind. And ever since then, it's been a steady decline. More on that in a minute, because I did do a YouTube video that is relevant to that. And of course, I jest, because the thing is, I don't know. I hope I have high hopes for 2017. I'll put it that way, but I don't know. And as I mentioned in 170, I don't know, and I'm okay not knowing. But that's for a few minutes from now. Okay, that's for a few. You know what's going to happen now in a few minutes. You can tell the future. I'm going to revisit that concept in just a few minutes. All right. Yeah, it's a new year. I mean, I don't know. Listen, I'm going to try to set a speed record right now. So here's what I'm going to do. Health Made Simple is a meal plan that I launched with Matt Frazier. It's freaking awesome. If you want to learn how to eat healthier, and this is a good time to do it in the new year, jump on. It's got videos and ton of recipes and five different plans and live Q&As and exclusive health casts. Okay? NoMeatAthlete.com/meal-plan-system. The show notes have a link as well. Okay? It's exhausting to me. I got some good donations, man. You guys, that's so cool. Thank you very much for doing that. I'm not kidding. Why would I joke? Ha ha. Just kidding. No, thank you. No, it was excellent. You guys really helped. It helps a huge amount. I got some more orders that came in, which we'll be shipping out for Nutty Nut Nut t-shirts and custom signed copies of my book and all that kind of stuff and more. You can find it at SidGarzaHillman.com. If you're wondering who I am, I run the Wellness Center at the Stanford Inn Eco Resort. I'm also a small steps coach and a certified nutritionist. And so that's what I do. And if you want information about me on that level, go to StanfordInn.com or SidGarzaHillman.com. And while you're there, throw in your email address. You get on my mailing list and get a free chapter of my book, Approaching the Natural, a Health Manifesto. Social media-wise, there's, you know, the ones I care about, Strava and Instagram and YouTube. First and foremost, YouTube. Okay. I'll be in Arizona January 28th and 29th in Scottsdale for the azvegfoodfest.com, Arizona Veg Food Fest. I just got announced. Well, hold on. Marshall, Texas Health Fest, March 31st through April 2nd. And just announced that I'll be going to Durham, North Carolina in August for the Triangle Veg Fest. Durham, North Carolina. And that's trianglevegfest.com. Okay, that just got announced. All right, that's fast, right? I got through that crap fast because I don't like it. Here we go. You guys know what I'm drinking? Do you? You don't. I'll tell you why, because you can't see me. Having a cup of Joe. I mean straight up, not espresso, not mushroom coffee, just a cup of coffee. A cup of coffee. You want to know why? Because for my birthday / Christmas holidays thingies, my in-laws gave me some money that I was going to use toward a new lens for my camera and instead bought a coffee maker. That's where my priorities are, you guys. Now, I did actually buy a lens as well with some other birthday money that I got. But anyway, it's a kick-ass coffee machine is what it is. it's a Breville, and you put the bean, you just pour the beans in a big thing in the back. You just pour the beans in there, and then you just go 8 cups, this dark, go. And it just grinds the beans, shoots them into the thing automatically, and brews the coffee. Am I still impressed by technology that's been around for a very long time? Yes. It's amazing to me that something can grind and brew all in one thing. That's amazing to me. And that's good because I set my bar low for what amazes me. And I think that's excellent. Okay. So rocket that flies to Mars, it's okay. But a coffee maker that grinds and brews, that's amazing. And so today I got home early, went to the inn for a little bit, and Jeff said, go home, come back later. And I was like, yes, I'm going to do that. So I went home and I just pushed up one button. I'm not kidding you guys. One button, boom, and just burp, boom, cup of coffee in my mug. And those were actual sound effects. That was not me. I wasn't doing like, you know, any kind of thing. It was like actual sound effects. Okay. This just went south. The book update. I am writing a new book, as you guys know, if you follow me on YouTube or listen to this podcast more than once. I'll just say I was unproductive. Can I just, unproductive during the holidays. And not an excuse. I did write. I didn't not write at all. I just didn't write that off. I need to begin tonight. Like my thing tonight is I got to get rolling because it's... I'm starting to feel the pressure build, and it's like this weird thing where, and everybody listening to this has heard it, I know exactly what I need to do to alleviate the pressure. I know exactly what I need to do to get the damn book finished. And I'm in the moment of a day saying to myself, I should, and I, you know, you guys know I hate the word should, right? The tension of should. So I'm hearing this in my voice. I'm going, I should be writing right now. I should be writing. I'd feel great after I wrote. I shouldn't be doing that. Bah, 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 bah. And just the slog of getting my brain in the right place to start writing is where I'm focused on. Okay, I just got to figure out a way. And guess how the solution is going to be? I'm going to have to break this down just in the game of my own brain. I've got to just be like, okay, I'm gonna set a timer for 5 minutes, and then if I shut down, then fine. And if I can want to continue, fine. Now, I have a deadline. It's real. It's in March, and I've got to get this thing, at least the first draft, done. So it's real. I can't small step I can't do 5 minutes a day forever, but I have faith in my own process, which is that if I start with 5 minutes, it'll get me just the ball rolling. I basically want to start writing 7 days a week. And if I set my step at five, there'll be some days where I do more, but even on a Sunday or Saturday where I don't want to work at all, I can squeeze out 5 minutes and feel productive. And if it gets there and I'm there and I'm feeling this is like, good, I'm in a good place, I'll write longer if I don't have much to do. Got it? Now, I did do an extra YouTube video this weekend. What I'm finding is I really miss the YouTube videos. So I'm not setting myself up for 2 days a week anymore because I'm working on the book, but I did 2 days this week and I really miss, like, it's a good outlet for me. It's keeping my brain sort of sharp and in the mode. So I may end up just kind of jumping back in on that. It does take time, but it's so life good for me. Okay. And I'm a practitioner, so I can use terms like life good. Like that's, I can do that because I'm trained. You guys don't go there yet, okay? You might want to put an is in there or it's good for me. But if I can say life good, okay? But now coming back to the New Year video. The New Year video, I did the new one, okay? And that's the book update. There you go. And the Wim Hof thing I already talked about, it's done. I did a video on that, by the way, if you want to watch. I did my honest review of it. I'll tell you in 2 seconds here. Learned a ton, love the reading, love the breathing, love the cold showers, still doing them every day. The program itself as like a website program thing that costs $200, not 100%, like it's in just no time at all, they could shape that thing up. And I know they just did a new website, so I think maybe they're neatening things up. I would edit. That's just me. I would write stuff and then I would read it once I wrote it. That's just me, because then you could maybe find out that maybe you didn't write it exactly the way that you thought you were going to write it. I would just go back and read what I wrote. I know that's a revolutionary concept, but that's just me if I were to do that, okay? And I did learn a lot from my own company, which I'm starting to kind of let out information about. I've got it like 90% there, which is good. It's now in the hands of the programmer. So most of the content that I had to get done, I got done with the help of my buddy Scott. I just said, I'm coming to your house. Can you freaking help me? Because I'm panicking and I got to write this book and I just need to get this off my plate. And he said, sure. So I basically spent a good amount of the weekend at his house doing shooting the videos for it. It's essentially a subscription. Not a subscription. It's a program like the Wim Hof thing. It's got a beginning and an end that is there to teach you my system, after which you then, in theory, continue it for the rest of your life or whatever. It's not a get six-pack abs in 12 weeks. It's not a lose weight in 12 weeks. It's not a learn how to eat perfectly in 12 weeks. It's none of those things. It is to learn a system. I will roll out more of that as the time comes. I still have to do like a soft opening and have some people give it a try and make sure I've ironed out all the bugs and catch typos, which apparently they didn't do on the Wim Hof program. Did I tell you it makes good coffee? I'm not just fascinated with the technology. It actually produces good coffee. I mean, that would be, I wouldn't like it just if it did good things, but then made crap coffee. Okay? I'm just saying. But back to the YouTube thing, the New Year thing, it's that time. And sort of like health practitioners and people, the men and women who are sort of doing what I do, we all kind of weigh in on New Year's resolutions. And some people are sort of like, New Year, set it. It's great. Go to the gym 7 days a week. And other people are like, New Year's resolutions suck. Don't ever do them. And I'm kind of in the middle of that. My thing is like, craft a New Year's resolution. But my thing is always like, what type of resolution are we talking about here? Because the whole thing of going to the gym 7 days a week or entirely changing your diet is antithetical to the small stepper's way, unless that's a small step for you, unless your diet is really like you're totally motivated because of whatever circumstances of your life and you can switch your diet overnight, then fine, that's a small step for you and there's not going to be stress associated with that change. But for most of us, that kind of stuff is just the biggest loser kind of setup for failure. And I think a resolution is good in the sense that it gets you maybe focused for the new year, excuse me, and gets you kind of rolling. But what I really thought about and expounded more in the video, so watch it, is just how artificial the whole idea of a new year is. It's something made up by us. And we all, including me, do it. And we use it. And we use calendars and all the things that we make up to sort of help us schedule our lives and negotiate a modern world. We need dates and times. Frankly, we can't really do the work of the modern world without those things, and I get it. But then there's a self-imposed pressure on top of that, which is that I'm going to make up a day and a time, and then I'm going to put pressure that I've got to come up with some sort of grand plan of action, and I think that that's where we, again, fail. Small steppers know better. We might have a big idea of a resolution in this way. We go, I resolve to be happier in 2017. And then we go about the business of setting up a practice whereby we get to achieve that better than we did in 2016. And I think that's amazing. I think that's exactly the right thing to do for you and me. I think that it is how to, again, improve over time. The small steppers, we don't stagnate. We don't go, I'm there, I'm done, and we go, where am I going to grow next? Where am I going to expand into next? How am I going to learn more about myself and the world? How am I going to relate better? I related awesome in 2016 to my family, but nobody does it perfectly. Nobody does it perfectly. That was one of the James Bond theme songs. You guys remember that? Nobody Does It Perfectly. I think it was by Sheena Easton. This is January 2nd. Can you guys give me a break? It's like my brain cleans at the new year that I made up, we made up that day, but my brain completely wipes. So I'm not seasoned as a podcaster just because this is my 172nd episode. It's as if it were my first. Okay. And like my first episode, I also made a Sheena Easton reference in that episode, 171 episodes ago. So Sheena, more power to you. Couple articles that came up, and these are very, very important articles. I'm gonna link to them in the show notes so you guys can actually read the articles themselves and the subsequent studies that come cited in the articles, okay? But I read stuff. I know it's shocking. This is not just a philosophy of health podcast. This is there's stuff out there. There's information to support it, okay? Couple articles, shocking, and something for you to pay attention to. Number one, and this is a quote. This is not, I didn't make this up. This is not my interpretation of the title. This is the title. There's poop in your beef. Poop in your beef. That was an article by a guy, Philip, I can't remember his name. I'm going to link to it. Jeez. In the Mother Jones. Mother Jones magazine, there's poop in your beef. All kidding aside, it's not a funny article. Okay, that's the title, and that's where the humor ends, because they tested conventional and organic beef and found a shocking amount of the bacteria associated with feces in said beef, mostly ground beef, because it's in steaks too, but that's on the outside, and it sort of apparently cooks off, but in ground beef, because it's a mixture of different animals all in one. It's not good. And then when you read like what they're feeding conventionally raised animals, which is some of it I knew that they go to corn and soy, got it. But then there's like a good amount of candy. I'm not kidding. And also parts of other animals like chickens and pigs in the beef feed. Guys, seriously, really? Are we talking about? Yes. Okay. Good on us humans. Let's just keep on with technology improving that industry, because it's fantastic. So read about that if you want. I wouldn't. I just summed it up. So you can make a decision based on that, what you've learned. More on that in this week's episode. Boom. See what the knowledge does? Here we go. The second one was on NPR, and it's called Wrong Eating Habits Can Affect Your Brain. Now, both the poop in your beef article and the wrong eating habits can affect your brain, which talks about the studies that are showing saturated fat and added sugar. Don't be afraid of sugar. I've said it 1,000 times. Fruit, phenomenal. Carbohydrate in fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, whole grains, beans, phenomenal. Added sugar that's extracted, junk food, just like oil that is extracted out of the food it came from, junk food, just like protein that is extracted from the food it came from, like soy protein, isolate, and whey protein. Junk food, calories that are empty of the stuff that helps your machine run well, okay? Wrong eating habits cites the studies about how the part of your brain that is about memory and the behavior in children, all these kinds of things, depression linked to inflammation, how food affects inflammation in your body and causes chronic systemic inflammation. And one of the quotes I loved is like, is it really that big of a surprise? We know that it affects all organs in the body. Do we think that it's somehow the brain is going to be immune to that? No, of course not. Of course not. So poop in your food. I mean, don't poop in your food. I'm just saying poop in your beef. There is poop in your beef. This is not an instructional like, you know what you guys should do is poop in your beef. This is just that there is that in there. And wrong eating habits can affect your brain. Both cite most of their research in the Journal of the No-Duh Journal of Obviousness. Okay, it's an obscure journal. Sometimes I go to more of the obscure things because they're less governed by the marketplace. So this is the No-Duh Journal of Obviousness, where they talk about that there's poop in beef and that when you eat bad, it affects your brain. But those are real articles, you guys, and I'm going to cite the, I'll put the links in the show notes. It's not shocking in any way, but it's good to know, okay, especially with regard to the book that I'm writing. It's stuff that I'm already talking about in the book, and then so it's like, yeah, of course, okay? So it affects the way you think how you eat. We forget about that, and sometimes in my, not sometimes, when I teach my nutrition classes, at the Stanford Inn, and the first question I put on the slide is why eat healthy? And everyone kind of looks at me like, oh, what did we just pay for? You know, why eat healthy? Duh, cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, stroke, heart disease. That's why we eat healthy. And I make the argument that it is about how we think and feel, that it affects our quality of our lives. Well, that's a mental thing. And I have talked about this for years and read about it too. It's not exactly out of the air, but there is a certain amount of common sense about this, that the better we fuel our bodies, if we do it in the right way, which is the small, in my opinion, the small steppers way, which is not get obsessed with food. But when we actually introduce healthy food over time in a way that doesn't cause us a huge amount of stress, we think better. We think clear. And of course, the broader issue here is when we do that way, when we introduce food in a small steppers, add in over time way, behavioral change with minimal stress added kind of way, really what we're talking about is lower overall stress. Lower overall stress means clearer thought, means less inflammation. It does. guys, stress and inflammation. They're married. They eloped. They didn't invite anybody. They just eloped. We're just going to go elope. We're getting too much pressure from our parents. Stress and inflammation. Got married. Okay. And they had babies. Okay. And the babies that they had were cancer, Alzheimer's, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, and they adopted plantar fasciitis. Okay. I took that metaphor and just killed it, just dug a hole and buried it and just said never, never again to that thing. But it kind of works. Isn't that weird? Kind of works, you guys. Yeah. So what do small steppers do? What do I coach? What do I come here every week to talk about? Every week to talk about. Lower your overall stress. I'm a certified nutritionist. Sure, food, amazing. One of the tools that can lower your overall stress or cause you amazing amounts of stress to your brain also, by the way, right? How food helps you grow the good bacteria in your gut, the good bacteria in your gut that definitely affects how you sleep, your mood. It's there. It's tied. It's there. We treat ourselves well. We learn to lower overall stress. We learn to self-care. We learn to nourish. We benefit on every level, mental and physical. It's not that complicated, you guys, in terms of knowledge. Is implementation. And that's why I come here for 172 episodes and beyond, because it's implementation. If it were knowledge, you'd have gotten it within episode 5. Okay, I got it. Thanks. And then ever since then, in 2000, whenever I started this, 13, you'd be, yeah, fine. We'd all be just living it because we know all stuff. So fine, we should be living it. And we're not. And that's because it's hard to do that. Okay. And that's the difficulty. And that's what I think I have a solution to. Speaking of solution, the next point I want to make is in a language, this is one of those things where I was thinking about it and kind of like, okay, yeah, okay, think about this way and go with like my client work. And then I was on a run with Sid, and I don't think she listens to this podcast much. I'll be honest with you. And so I can say whatever I want about her. She's dumb there. She won't even know. I'm going to run with her on next Saturday. We'll have a joyful run. We'll just be chatting away, and she'll know nothing about the fact that I referred to her as dumb in this podcast. And I have that power. That's the power I'm going to have. Now, Bree listens to this, and she might tell Sid, I think I just opened up a whole big can of worms. Sid, you're not dumb. You're so smart. I'm kidding. Sid's my bud. Okay, so listen. I was thinking about this concept, and then she said this exact thing, and I was like, this is what I'm talking about. What she said was something like, XYZ, that's my problem. And we use that language a lot. Cheese, that's my problem. Ice cream, that's my problem. My problem is that I... blah, blah, blah. In fact, I would say my problem, this is me, Sid, S-I-D talking. My problem is that when I go down to write, I'm easily social media. That's my problem. Social media is my problem. Interesting, right? Not yet. Wait, can I make my point? Can I make my frickin' point? Thank you. I want you to think about this because this is how I'm now thinking about it. And I want you to do exactly what I do all the time. I want you to think about it as, what is your solution? Right now, social media is my solution. Right now, if you crave ice cream and you're overweight and unhealthy and your brain isn't working that well, because studies have shown in that journal I mentioned that you think ice cream, that's my problem is ice cream. I can't help myself. That's my problem. And I am here to tell you what I believe to be true and absolutely factual is that ice cream is the solution. Is your solution right now. It is a solution for you. Social media is a solution for me. Here's why. Because when I sit down to write, then I got to hear the language in my brain of failure and stress and deadlines and nervousness and is this going to be good and blah, 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 blah. That's stress. That's a problem. Oh my God, I don't want to think that stuff and feel that stuff. Solution? Twitter. Boom. Facebook. Boom. Solution? Why? Because I'm not thinking about that stuff anymore. It has solved what is the actual problem, which is those messages and the feeling of all the things wrapped up in my history as a person that are manifesting in the time that I sit down and write my freaking book. That comes up, and that can come up in the way that when you guys go to a diet, when you think, oh, I'm fat and ugly and all these kinds of things that They came from you before, long before you're you today. They came from you when you were 7, maybe. And so to get rid of that problem of feeling like a failure just in your day-to-day, right now, even if you're not a diet, you're just overweight and you don't feel good and you're sluggish, you have a solution, which is go eat ice cream. That solves that problem because you don't feel that pain and that discomfort and that failure and that emotional stress when you're eating that ice cream. Problem solved. Problem solved. But here's the thing, you guys. Instead of looking at it as a problem, the ice cream, or looking at social media as my problem, I want to look at it as, in fact, a solution. Because then I can say, okay, but is it a good solution? Is it a solution that is actually solving the problem? What it does is defines clearly really what the problem is, because the problem really isn't ice cream. That's never the, I've never worked with anybody that whose actual problem is ice cream. I have worked with tons of people who have certain things going on in their lives that add stress enough to the point that to solve that level of stress, they look to things like ice cream and other light box foods or alcohol or whatever else. That's their solution at the moment. I'm here to suggest looking for a different solution, one that is a little more in line with their own values. In other words, for me, and I can only speak to me right now, guys, right? Is that my solution is of Twitter and Facebook is not a good solution. It doesn't long-term make me feel good, but it is a solution. I want to acknowledge that first because I want to know really what I'm dealing with here. And my problem isn't Twitter. I'm not going to call Twitter and go, you guys totally have made me not able to write my, it's your fault. I'm going to sue you. It's my, because you made me not write. What I'm going to say is, I got to figure out another way to get around this. I got to figure out another way around this. I got to do a workaround so that I have a better solution. One is the thing that I mentioned earlier in this episode, which is that I'm going to set my step of writing, even though if I got to be honest, I initially, and I did a video on it where I was like, I don't have the luxury of small stepping writing. I don't have the luxury because I have a deadline. Well, guess who was wrong about that? Me. And I'm the freaking small step advocate. I was wrong about that. I have to small step because the thing is I didn't come at it with that mentality and I am not writing nearly enough. I've got to get my hands on the keyboard every day. That is my absolute. So if I have to do 5 minutes or 1 minute, that's what's going to have to happen. I am absolutely going to small step because I had to learn again, yet again, and I've been doing this 3 years. You guys wonder if you ever ask, why does he just keep coming back and kind of revisiting themes and talking about new ways of looking at things? Because it's an ongoing process and practice. There's no way to get around it, at least for me. And if you guys have gotten around it, go listen to another podcast because this ain't for you. But for many people that listen to this podcast, it's totally something they want to revisit because it's not that simple, because it's a constant struggle in a good way. It's great. It's struggle. It's great. I got to, the book is, I'm writing a book. I signed a book contract with a publisher. There's no negative about this. It's something I want to do. And something is very, this subject is very near and dear to me in this next book. And so it's all positive. It's just, if I don't small step it in my own brain, and actually just do this for real, I am not writing at all. So I could be a little 10-year-old baby and say, I don't want to small step. I have a deadline. I can't afford to small step. Or I can be an adult about it and go, look, I need to do whatever it takes to write this book that I want to write. That's for me to do in a good, like that gives me joy and is good for my career. And I want it to be good and I want it to help people. All those things. I have good goals around those, around that book. And so I can be a little stubborn little kid and say, I'm not going to small step it. I shouldn't have to because I have a deadline. So I just have to dive in and do it. But the fact is I haven't. So I didn't write for the last like I haven't written for the last week. I literally cannot afford to not write for a week. Had I written 5 minutes a day, I'd had an extra 35 minutes of writing. 35 minutes, that's substantial. I can write some serious stuff in 35 minutes. And it's not a ton, but guess what I didn't do? None. Zero. I did zero time. So 35 minutes is better than nothing. Okay? The argument's always, yeah, but you need to write more than that. Yes, but I didn't. I did not. So if you think you got to change your diet as of January 1st, that's my change. Well, the chances are you're going to burn out and you're going to do nothing. And then you can look back 3 months from now and know that you burned out after 3 weeks. And for the next 2 months, you did nothing. And instead, if you small stepped it, you'd have 3 full months of change under your belt. 3 full months of increased self-esteem and self-confidence, of empowerment, of action. And I know for a fact that if I sit down tonight and write for only 5 minutes, I'm going to feel a hell of a lot better. And when I feel a hell of a lot better, it's going to infect the rest of my life. And I'm going to feel more empowered and I'm going to feel like I accomplished something. And it's going to be setting me up for just a little bit easier the next day when I sit down for 5 minutes. And sooner than later, that 5 minutes is going to expand into 10 minutes. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever. That's let's remember, okay? The problems in our lives that lead us to the solutions that we interpret as problems. My problem is alcohol. No, it is 100% not your problem. Your problem is not alcohol. Your problem was the life that led you to alcohol. That's your problem. Alcohol was the perfect solution in the moment before you maybe knew of a better solution, because there's a ton of better solutions than alcohol, just like there's a ton of better solutions than lightbox foods, just like there's a ton better solutions than social media, than mindless social media. Okay, it doesn't have a purpose, but the way that I do it, it serves zero purpose for me. Really, it solves my problem in the moment, but it is not creating long-term sustainable good living for me. Life good. Okay, that's what that's not doing. So I want to at least, and I want you guys to try this on this week, at least identify the things that you go to that you wish you didn't, but understand that they are solving your problems. Then you can not bother with them as problems and try to, if you look at ice cream as your problem, then you're going to try to solve that problem. And you're going to try to solve it by doing what? To eat less ice cream or to eat no ice cream. And so all your brain is going to be focused on ice cream. I shouldn't have it. I can't have it. I'm going to limit it. I'm going to keep it to only one half a cup Monday through Wednesday. And then Thursday, I'm going to do a full cup. Then Friday, I'm going to have a quart. And then Saturday, a gallon. That's what I'm going to do, because that's my problem. But if you go, yeah, ice cream, solution. That's a solution that I do. Okay, so what? Oh, to the stress of my job and to my family life and to my marriage that kind of sucks and to my, you know, commute that I listen to the news and get all stressed out. Okay, those are my problems that I, and you know, I've talked about these, even the word problem, I kind of have a problem with. What? Meta. They're situations. I mean, I've said that before. I wish you, and I too, like, here's my situation. Okay, my situation is that when I sit down to write, I go to social media. But it's still a solution, social media. Boom, it solves that issue right in the money. Is this wordplay? Yeah, it is, you guys, because we use language and we attach ideas to language. And I think that when we are aware of the language we use, it can inspire us to actually see truths in our lives that then inspire us to make change. So it inspired me to look at social media as a solution to then identify really what the problem is, which is the pressure around my book. Then how can I alleviate that pressure? By setting a step of 5 minutes. Okay? Our problems, and or if you want to call them situations, in the modern world are complex. They are real and they are complex. They are not to be solved. Let's say, for instance, you identify your actual situation and or problem as your job and your relationship and your commute. Let's say that. Those are things that you cannot change overnight. You cannot, most of us, none of us, if you have a marriage that's a little bit rocky, you can't change that overnight, period. Just end of story. I don't even need to know your marriage. If you have a marriage issue, it ain't going to be changed overnight. It's just not going to be changed overnight. Just throw that right out the window. Not going to happen. Your commute, if you have to go to work, ain't going to change overnight. Now, over time, you can figure out ways to discuss it with your job, with your boss, and say, hey, can I, you know, telecommute some days? Can I change my work hours? I don't know. Maybe there's workarounds. I don't know. I do know that it's not overnight. So the fact is that when we have a solution to the stress that, let's just say, is cheese pizza, why do we want to change that thing overnight? Why do we just want to say, I've got these complex issues that lead me to the cheese pizza. I'm just going to change the cheese pizza overnight. I'm just going to stop eating cheese pizza tomorrow. But yet the problems still exist and they're too complicated to change overnight. And the problem with changing the solution overnight is that then our brains go all to that cheese pizza. When we can't have it, I wish I could have it. I feel I really crave it. I must need the calcium because I crave cheese. All these like brain-focused things go to the thing that we're not. That's not the thing. The thing is the job and the marriage and everything else that I just listed, or whatever they are for you. Let's first and foremost be honest with ourselves to say, what is the solutions that we've chosen, okay? And what are the real issues at hand that lead me to that? So then we can actually take real steps. Okay? Got it? Okay, I want to be clear about that. Sometimes I just, whenever I say something like that, I just, it's absolutely just getting mad at you. I'm just getting mad at you. My coffee's a little cold, you guys. Can one of you guys come over here and warm this coffee for me? You've donated to my podcast, which is super awesome and nice, but I think you could make an effort to warm my coffee. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Do you? Okay, one more quick thought before I move to the subject of this week. Okay, things, and this is related. Okay, trust me, things happen in our days. Work related often is this when this happens, and that is it. And excuse my French, but sometimes like a jackass at work will ruin our day. Something at work ruins our day. Or in our lives, you're at the supermarket and there's a thing that happens with somebody else there and it makes you angry and it literally ruins your day. Like the rest of the day is just tanked as a result of that. And that has happened to, I would say, 100% of people listening to this. And if it hasn't, then you live in a bubble, and I don't know why you're listening to this, because you live in a bubble. And so everything is perfect for you. It's clean and it's a bubble. But for most of us, things can set us off, and they can actually ruin our day. Like a 5-minute altercation can just tomahawk the whole rest of the day. It can hijack the subject in your brain. It can hijack the mental real estate in your head. Just take over all the things you think about, and it's hard to negotiate the rest of your day because of a 5-minute thing. That's not unrealistic, and you guys know that it's not unrealistic. And for me to go, hey, and this is like, you know, the thing that happens, don't let it bother you. Well, okay, great. But again, it's complex, because the reason it bothers you is probably because of all the years that led up to that 5 minutes. The reason it bothers you as much is because you're sensitive to what happened, or you have a hard time, letting things go, or a whole bunch of things leading up to that moment. And I think in the short term that you should just, fine, it's going to ruin my day. That's for me. I would never tell somebody, just don't let it bother you. Go on. I think that we all want that to happen for sure. That's our goal. We don't want to let it bother us. We certainly don't want to let us rob it, you know, rob us of time with our families or things that we want to do after work. But I think in the very least, get something out of it. Like if some jackass is going to ruin your day, then get something out of it. And here's what I would get out of it. First and foremost, and this should be of no surprise if you've listened to this podcast before, frame how the real you would actually handle it. Just your day's already shot. So fine. It's the day's done. The guy, he got you. He got the best of you. Okay, fine. You winner, that guy. But get something out of it. Say, yeah, you know, the real me would have said this, and I would have let it go 5 minutes later. I would have been on, because it's really not that big of a deal. It's not, it's in the big scheme of things, this is not life altering. The thing that he said, while just ridiculous and crazy, it didn't sink in. I don't care, because it's not relevant to me. Okay? That's what you get out of it. Now, you know that the rest of your day is shot. It's shot. It's done. Just curl up in a ball and suck your thumb, because it's finished. But get something out of it. Grab something out of it. Okay? This is what I would do. The me not me game. The me would say this, and I would, it'd be gone out of my head, because not relevant. Or maybe I did something bad and I would apologize for it, and then done. But then I'd move on. The second thing you can get is this awareness, and this is the absolute truth. And regardless of how you feel the rest of the day, you can actually become aware of this 100% truth, which is that they, the jackass, did not actually ruin your day. How you reacted to it is ruining your day. How you're continuing to react to it will ruin your day. It's you. And I think that's the best thing ever. I think that's the most powerful place to come from, because nobody gets that power. Nobody gets that power to ruin your day. You ruin your day. And I think it's a good thing to know that right away, because then again, you know the situation at hand, which is that, man, I tend to take things hard and I tend to let them ruin my day. I am now in the equation. They didn't do anything to you. They did something. You reacted to it. If you aren't letting it go, you are not letting it go. And it may not, it's not going to change that day, but boy, isn't that a good thing to know? Because then, guess what? Broken record. You can then take steps to correct or to improve next time in 2018 on January 1st. Make a resolution. You can take steps for real. You can say, I notice that I tend to take these things hard. I tend to take them really personally in a kind of an irrational way. And I assessed it. It's not nothing to do with me. But yet I've let it ruin the rest of my life of this day. And so, you know, I'm going to start bringing in a journaling step and a deep breathing step, because I notice that I can let things go easier when I do those things. I'm going to start feeding myself better over time. So not as vulnerable when I come to work. So I'm not as fatigued. I'm going to start sleeping, get to bed a little bit earlier, start shutting off lights in the house, a little darker in the evening to kind of get ready to get my circadian rhythm back in sort of check, so that when it's night, I kind of in my brain sort of in that mode and I can go to sleep a little easier and sleep a little more soundly. So there's steps to be taken, even in the context of somebody ruining your day. And then you go, not only have they ruined their day, but then you're mad at them for ruining your day. There's like double stress on double stress. The thing they said makes you mad, and then the fact that you're mad about it makes you mad. Instead, you go, okay, well, what's the facts around this? Feeling crappy, but what's the facts? Fact is, I would handle it this way, and they didn't actually do anything to me. I did it, and I am powerful. I've done this, and now I'm going to try to do it differently over time. And that's what you get from it. Grab something from it. At least get something useful out of that situation. Just that's all I'm saying. Set the bar that low. I'm not going to try to change it. I just want to get some knowledge out of it. Good. That's what I need from you guys. Get some knowledge. And that goes for a whole bunch of different situations that can occur. And I think what this speaks to is sort of this kind of fear of failure in a way. And I think it's hard for us, all of us humans, to acknowledge failure. And I think small steppers, at least the way that I come at it and coach people to do it, get much more familiar with and okay with at least what other people would think as failure, but I actually think of as success, which is it's not a failure to get that kind of knowledge out of it. And I think that to say it's me ruining my own day makes people feel like, well, I'm an idiot. But I'm going, how cool, because you're actually stepping into the equation and saying, I'm actually strong enough to admit this, and then I'm actually strong enough to change it and take action, which makes me more self-confident and have greater self-esteem over time. We want to make it about somebody else, because then it has nothing to do with us. And I think that's a very powerless position to be in. It had nothing to do with me. There's nothing I could do about it. They did that. Instead, oh man, here's what I did today. I allowed this jackass to actually bother me. Can you believe it? But I'm going to take steps to make sure that doesn't happen. Or at least if it does, it's less over time and eventually just doesn't. Dig? Okay. The word games here, you guys, small stepper, word games, use power language. Power language. Not victim language. Power language. I did it. I did it. I screwed up. I let that guy bother me. And so now I know what there is in me that is not me. Okay, that wasn't me. The way that I let that happen all day, it wasn't me. The me would have just let that go. Got it? Okay, I'm just going to run this into the ground. Going to run it into the ground. Okay, you guys. I'm going to finish up with what I think. The reason I did this today is because, yes, it's New Year's Day. But again, like, don't, or it's the day after, but don't sweat this whenever you're listening to this. Okay, this is just happens to be relevant sort of like in the transition of a new year when we sort of want to start anew. you know, that kind of, it's again, human construct. Okay, this is human construct. We made this up, but okay, fine. Given that we made it up and we want to start anew and start fresh, then let's dive into that a little bit. If that's what's going to happen, and it does for all of us, then although I have to say, like, usually it does for me, I didn't give a crap. Like, I did that video and I have not thought about, like, it doesn't, it's like, it's a number on it. I hung up a new calendar today. Like, that's, oh yeah, okay. But I wanted to touch upon this, the essentially what the transition of a new identity is. And you guys know this if you've heard me before, but I never help people become different people. I never help transition people to somebody new. What I do is help transition people to becoming who they truly are. But let's be very clear, it feels very different. When people behave differently than they have been behaving, even though it's more in line with their own values and standards, it feels very, very different. If you live a life of eating junk food and being overweight, and all of a sudden you small step, and over time, in a year or two, you're now eating healthy and you're at a healthy weight, it's there's going to be a transition period where it's like, this feels almost disorienting, because you feel like you don't, you're in this no man's land where you don't really know who you are, but you do. You just don't behave it that way. And so the thing about it is in my practice, and what I advise people to do is the me, not me game, the first task I've talked about, where you write who you actually are in present tense as if it's actually happening, is that feeling of, know who you are, because when you begin the transition of changing your behaviors, you need to have something to anchor to. You need to have something that, I'm not joking, literally, and I'm using the word for real, on paper, that you can consult. Because when you feel like you're floating around and that you're kind of in between people in a way, like, well, I've done this thing my whole life, it's not really who I am, but now I'm starting to behave differently, you got to know who you are. You got to have something to grab onto. The fact is there is a security and safety of what we know. Listen to that again. There's a security and safety to what we know. Even if what we know isn't really us, if eating junk food and not exercising or whatever that is for you for your whole life, you know that it's not good for you and you don't want to be that person because you're really not that person, but there's a certain security and safety in what I can bet on. I know that I'm the person who doesn't eat well and sits on a couch all day. There's a security, it's dialed in, it's quantifiable. That's what I understand. When you change, when you make steps, even small steps to change, there is a floating feeling, a disorienting feeling of like, well, now who am I? Well, find out who you are long before you make your first step change. And this is like a very, I do get into practical stuff, but that's why I do the first task long before my clients make any actual substantial real life change. In other words, you determine if you're a person who eats healthy food most of the time long before you actually eat your first piece of healthy food or, you know, make one single improvement. I don't want you to touch that thing yet until you're clear on who you are, because when you start actually making that change, it feels disorienting. One of the yet another reasons why diets fail, because you dive into this thing that really isn't you and you don't know who you are, and a diet's not going to tell you who you are. You don't know if you're the person that eats this way or eats kind of this way sometimes or when they eat this way. I go, toss that out. That's the potential end game. A diet is like a potential end game for anybody. But the fact is, most people don't ever get to the point where they eat that diet all the time. Some people do, and I think they're actually nutty nut nut because I think they get like too militant and too rigid. But regardless, a diet is an end game. When you small step, you get to that. I've touched upon this recently, but when you small step, you build in and you find your own place. And because you're taking the time to build in, you're learning and knowing new things. And so you're more familiar and comfortable with the changes that you're actually making in the real world. As you're adding in celery, you've also done the thinking already to say, I'm somebody who eats healthy food all the time. So it seems a little less weird and it's a little more anchored in what you're doing. But I'll say it again. I advocate for people finding out long before they actually try and become that person. Know who you are first before you even do anything to become that person. Because when you actually make moves, hopefully via small steps. You got to have that anchor. If you don't have that anchor, chances are you're going to lose. You're going to go back to the thing that you know, which is, well, this is my comfort zone. I know that if I eat junk food and do this, 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 and this, then I can basically go to work and do the things I do. I've done it for 50 years. And you're going to go right back to that because it's familiar and there's a security of that knowledge. I got it. I understand this thing. I don't understand how to be a healthy, happy person because I've never been that really substantially. So there's a concurrent shift in the knowledge of yourself and the actions you're taking to become that person. The Lost and Found, the title of this episode, is about losing certain behaviors and finding yourself in that process. And it's not a joke at all. It is disorienting and difficult. Much less what I've addressed in a few other podcast episodes. This isn't even touching the reaction of people in your lives that are disoriented and floating around because of the changes you're freaking making. Not even changes they're making. They're freaked out by the fact that you're behaving differently and that's rocking their world. And they need to learn how to deal with that new knowledge for themselves. Guess what? Totally not your problem. You got enough on your plate. Trust me when I tell you that when you make moves to find the you that you may have never found your whole life and start to lose the not you, game freaking on, like in a way that you don't, it's very uncomfortable. It can be very uncomfortable. And that discomfort is often, here we go, full circle, solved by lightbox foods or by going back to the things that are comfortable. We don't like discomfort. And the modern world is crafted to where we can feel very, very little discomfort because we have so much stuff that just Tylenol's the crap out of our discomfort. Just a pill we can put in. And let's face it, guys, lightbox food is essentially a pill. TV is essentially a pill. Alcohol is essentially a pill. Drugs are essentially a pill. And ice cream, essentially a pill. We have lots of things, including actual pills like Tylenol, that are the solution to that discomfort. So if you bring in too much discomfort, boy, oh boy, you're going to retreat and you're going to revert to the security of what you know and what's comfortable for you. The small stepper isn't that we're not waiting around in this waiting, W-A-D as in David, waiting around this pool of not knowing. And I think that this process does make people maybe a little more comfortable with not knowing. Like just you get more self-confidence. And when you get more self-confidence, you go, I don't know. I don't know that thing. But at the same time, there isn't a ton of not knowing in the small step in the approach that I craft. Because as you're changing, you're knowing more. And as you're knowing more, you're changing. And as you get used to that process, as someone, you become more someone who changes with new knowledge. That's a very cool place to be because you know and you have the confidence of saying, as new knowledge comes in you know, and I new year, right? New year, new knowledge, maybe. As new knowledge comes in, I'm the person who can look at that knowledge and not judge myself for not having known it, but actually say, knowing what I know now, I can actually make changes to become the person who incorporates that knowledge. I just found out that cucumbers are good for me. Okay? You probably don't know that, but let's just say you did. I just found that out. This new knowledge. Somebody can say, well, I know that now, but I'm very comfortable with the food that I eat, even though I'm not happy and I'm not healthy. But I may know that cucumbers, but I and then there's a small stepper who goes, oh, cucumbers are healthy? Right on. I'm somebody who takes new knowledge and looks at it and goes, is this something I want to take on or not? Oh, sounds like it's a good thing. Okay, but I don't want to get rid of everything I've been doing because that's kind of going to freak me out. And I got to, you know, ease my way in a good way. Okay, I'm going to start with a half a cucumber every other day. And that's what I'm going to start because I have that new knowledge and it's triggering a change and an evolution and a growth. And once you realize that you are someone who can adjust and change with new knowledge, then you're are going to be a person who evolves literally because you're going to learn something. And when you learn something, you're going to lose some old stuff and bring in some new stuff. How cool. You lose the old stuff when you find the new stuff. That's lost and found. How comfortable we are with that process is a determining factor of how successful we're going to be in our own lives. How comfortable we are with what we're going to do with new knowledge it dictates how successful we are in our lives. If we're not comfortable with new knowledge, we're going to learn new stuff and not act on it. And then we're going to have more guilt and more stress around it. And there's the should. See, I learned that cucumbers are good for me, but I should eat them, but I can't. I just don't, you know, my problem is cheese. Cheese is my problem. That's why I'm not eating cucumbers, because it's just cheese. Just, you hear the language? Instead, I'm eating the cheese for now, but I learned this cucumber thing. I'm going to bring this into, and I'm going to learn that about myself, and I'm going to lose over time a little bit of the cheese thing and bring in a little more of the cucumber thing. And then that's power and strength and self-esteem and self-confidence. What I want for you guys in the new year, and again, if you're listening to this in June of any year, just start today, because it's made up anyway. So the day you're listening to this is the day that your new year starts, okay? What I want for you is more happiness, more strength, more joy, more power. I want you to look at your lives in a way that I believe is the truth, which is that you are the director of your own lives. The world can make us feel like that's not the case. It can make us feel powerless, and it can make us feel like we don't have strength. But when we look at that and we go, actually, it's not making me feel that way. I've let it make me feel that way. But it's actually not. It's me. Holy crap. All the stuff in the news that I read and I think, this is why it's not that. It's me. I'm the one who did that. Cool. Good to know. And because I let it do that, I go to cheese pizza because that solves my stress around that. Well, let me just rearrange this whole bad boy and realize I'm the player here. I'm the player here. I don't let that go, and I don't let that dictate who I am. It's there. I'm not going to react to it in that same way. I'm going to change that. I'm going to bring in that new knowledge that I just learned about myself and take action to get on top of it. You guys are small steppers. We act. We learn, and we act. And we call the shots. Not all the time, and not perfectly, but we know we do. And that's the place to start. And that's where sustainable change comes from, which is that knowledge about ourselves and about the world, the part that we play in it. That's first and foremost, and then change comes later. Dig? All right, you guys. I'm going to wrap it up for this week, episode 172. You guys are awesome. Podcast at SidGarzaHillman.com. Go to SidGarzaHillman.com for all your Approaching the Natural podcast merchandise. And if you want to throw me a few bucks, literally a few bucks is fantastic. You guys are awesome. Any questions, throw me that email. You guys are doing awesome. Happy New Year for real to everybody. I wish you all the best. And thanks for your support and your iTunes reviews and all that kind of stuff and spreading the word. I'll be back next week with the Approaching the Natural podcast. In the meantime, you guys, be well.
I laid you down. And I washed you down. And I set aside a silent cry. Then I sprinkle the rain in the faint darkness ahead. Faint darkness ahead. Crawling away. I drop my hands. And I dropped everything. Kept circling around you. Kept kneeling beside. Sprinkle the rain, the faint darkness ahead. This I can't chase from my head. The wind. The sunlight. We're still crawling away. The moonlight, it will shine. It will shine. Forgot, forgot the sound, the sound, the sunlight. We're still crawling away. But the moonlight, it will shine, it will shine, it will shine.